All right, welcome back to Unleashed, the most legit Celtics podcast in the game. Today, episode number 85, we are sponsored by Burner Sports. As always, I'll tell you a little bit more about Burner Sports when we get closer to the end of this episode. So stick around for that, as it's an awesome partnership we have going on. But what are we talking about today? I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I don't know if you can tell by the way I'm saying things, a little pep in my podcast step here. Boy, are we feeling good. Why are we feeling good? Because I hope I'm not jinxing it, but I am so confident in where the Celtics stand right now in terms of the rest of the league. So we'll get into all that. First thing I want to talk about here is the fact that, you know, I consider myself one of these people that kept the faith during these losses against Toronto, during the, you know, the last second shots, the overreactions, so on and so forth, yada, yada, yada. Me, go back and listen to these podcasts, watch the post-game streams that I do. Never lost the confidence, never lost the faith, and, you know, just really, really was pulling for this team overall and never just jumped off the bandwagon, which so many damn people did. Go and listen to, I'm not going to do the whole rant again, but I got some positive feedback from it. The whole rant in last episode, number 84, I talked about how people, you know, after losses, think the Celtics team just stinks. They just disregard the fact that, you know, well, hey, they have won plenty of games in this series. And you know, I'm talking about when it was 3-3 tie. When you look back on it now, the Celtics were so much better than the Raptors in that series. Two of the three Raptors wins, one of them came at the last second, and the other one, you know, the second of the three came with, what, you know, double overtime, two teams are grinding, a couple calls go the Raptors' way. Like, the Celtics had that series. Whether or not you want to believe it, fine, but I never got off the wagon. I never said, you know what, oh, the Raptors are going to win this series because of one shot. You guys shit on me for my podcast after game three when I said it was just one shot. It does not change the outcome of the series. Everyone's like, oh, is it really one shot? Now it's 3-3, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's great. It's great to, you know, to be right. You know, I said it all along. This is going to go 6 or 7 games. What did it do? It went 7 games. I said it in the streams and I said it in the last episode. We should not be shocked that this series went 7 games. If you were to take a step back and before you figure out how they got there, if you were to take a step back and say, hey, where do you think the Celtics, you know, or take a step back and someone tells you the answer, hey, the Celtics Raptors goes game 7, you wouldn't be like, oh my God, are you kidding me? No, but the fact that the Celtics went up 2-0 got everyone's expectations to re-sweep another team. So they swept the Sixers, and then it's like, oh, we're up 2-0. We've won 6 straight playoff games. Let's sweep again. The Raptors were too good for that, okay? That's not a knock on the Celtics for not being able to close 2-0. Like, this Raptors team's really good. You know, they don't give up, and that showed. Game 7, all the way down to the wire, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, you know what? Just seconds left kind of determined who was going to win that game. So, yeah, I guess this first part of the podcast, I kind of wanted to just bask in my glory here, because this is the type of Celtics team we're dealing with. A team that you can't give up on after losses, because we've seen all season long in losses, they could look terrible and they have looked terrible. So don't just think, you know what, one Celtics loss defines this team, because when they needed to win, and sorry if you guys think that this is repeat because I talked about it before, you know, in multiple pieces of content here. When the Celtics needed to win, they did. And there's only 3 of those games, in my opinion, during that last series against Toronto. The first game, they needed to come out and say, hey, who's the better team? We're the better team. Check. Game 5, they could not go down 3-2 after going up 2-0. They needed to win game 5. Absolutely smacked Toronto. Back into extinction, those Raptors. Then game 7, obviously a must win. Boom. There you go. So, yeah, here we are, basking in the glory. If you are a Celtics fan like me and you were able to keep the faith, then shout out to you. If you're one of those people that jumped off the bandwagon after game 3 or after game 4 or, you know, hell, after game 6, why don't you just stay off the bandwagon? You're gone. You're gone. And you know who you are. I have the receipts probably, unless you went back and deleted it. I said after every game, hey, how are we feeling after that loss? And there was people in there being like, it's over. Like, we thought this team was better without Kyrie. Bull crap. We should have Kyrie. Kemba stinks. Brad Stevens should get fired. Where are those people now? Where are they now? The Celtics are the favorites, you know, at least in game 1, but I would say favorites in the series against the Heat. Now, in the Eastern Conference Finals, they have a better chance than not, by odds, I'm not jinxing it here, by odds, to get to the NBA Finals. Where are those people now that decided to jump off the wagon? Just saying, you know. And one thing I wanted to note too, if you are a viewer of the streams that I do post game, I think in two seasons now we're 8-0 in guarantee. I raise up my fist and I say this fist is undefeated. I just clipped it and put it on Twitter if you guys want to go check it out. I guaranteed a game 7 win. I'll be honest with you guys. Most of those guarantees, you know, a couple of them, you know, I remember the Pacers game last year was a big one, but most of those guarantees are just when the Celtics need a win, but they're playing against a team that's pretty bad. Like, I know the Nets last year or the year before was one of my guarantees. The Celtics, that was not a guaranteed win. You know what I mean? That was not a pushover game 7, obviously. The playoff team, one of the best teams in the league that they beat. I guaranteed it, and I was right. So I remain undefeated. Sometimes you take chances with that, but I trust the Celtics team. Enough of me, I guess, bragging, because you guys probably don't enjoy that. Let's talk about Marcus Smart here, which I know everyone enjoys. All right, we all know Marcus Smart does the things that we can't read on the stat sheet. He is just unbelievable, and that's pretty damn, you know, important and valuable in how they ended up winning this series. Most notably, more like the cherry on top, I guess I should say, that block on Powell. The same thing happened in Game 6. He went for the strip. The ref called a BS foul, and it was an and-one play, sort of ended the game. Well, in Game 7, I think it was Tatum again, lost the ball. Powell was going down there, crunch time situation, huge, huge play. Marcus Smart leaps up and pins Powell on the glass, and then it's like game over. That's the play we needed to make, and he made it. So Marcus Smart, always, we know him for like showing up off of the stat sheet, which I don't want to harp on and continue to say what's already been said by literally everybody. Marcus Smart does that. He makes the game-winning plays. He does things that no one gets real credit for. But he did get credit for it, I guess, this year in a way. All-team defense, he had those that accolade, but he missed out on Defensive Player of the Year. But anyways, that's not what we're trying to talk about here. I want to talk about him actually, like, stat sheet stuffing. Like, I'm not looking at, you know, efficiency rating or points won on court or, you know, like, I'm talking about points, rebounds, assists, steals, and that's something we really couldn't turn to in the first series against the Sixers. So Marcus Smart averaged 8 points, 2 assists, 4 rebounds against the Sixers, right? Well, against Toronto is a little bit different of a story. He still kept the intensity, still brought the game-winning plays and that grind and tough guy mentality, but the stats were so much different. Against Toronto, Marcus Smart averaged 16 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, over a steal a game. Like, this was a completely different player. And when we have the Marcus Smart that absolutely is able to just go out there and do his thing where, you know, what we normally see him do, make the steals, make the hustle plays, dive on the floor, you know, strip a ball, make a defensive play, all that. But then you throw in the fact that he's shooting 40% from three like he did in this series on 8, almost 9 three-point attempts per game. I don't know. This is not the time to talk about whether or not that's too many. He shot 40%, just under 40%. From three this series, 16 points a game, 5 assists, and 6 rebounds. That is a guy that you can trust with the ball in his hands, which is not the usual. I've always said it. A lot of true Celtics fans understand that Marcus Smart is a playmaker, but you know, the casual fan, they don't realize it. They view Marcus Smart as a guy that's diving after a loose ball. When you have a guy that is still, like, it's not like he left that at the door and became an offensive player. You know what I mean? Marcus Smart all of a sudden turned into an absolute offensive player while somehow upping that defensive and loose ball intensity, which is kind of what I wanted to give him props here for. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to call it out because obviously we could call it the block, we can call it the steals, we can call it the plays he's made. But I think it's about time that he gets recognition for a series in which, you know, Kemba Walker did not play too well. There were times where Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum disappeared too. Marcus Smart was like, hey guys, let me do my best and let me try and help you out here. Most notably, Game 6. Game 6 that they lost in double overtime, Marcus Smart at the triple-double, 23, 11, and 10. He was the only reason, I would say, alongside Daniel Theis, the only reasons that that game was going. Kemba Walker had checked out, or he was stinking all game. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown thought the game ended after 4 quarters. And the only reason that went to double overtime, in my opinion, was really Marcus Smart just kept it there. They kept the Celtics alive. So, I guess, you know, like I said, to tie it all up, everyone gives Marcus Smart credit for what he deserves, so why doesn't he, you know, get that sort of, hey, he's an offensive player now? Because you'll see, I've already seen it on NBA TV, I've seen it on the talk shows, they're not giving Marcus Smart any credit. Everyone's talking about the block, everyone's talking about all the steals and defensive plays he make. How about him being, like, maybe the third best offensive player in that series? You know, and I shouldn't even say maybe. Like, he was, you know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. He was so instrumental in that win, aside from what he normally does. And that takes a lot of a guy to be able to say, hey, I'm going to give it 110% on defense, but then come down on the court, be out of breath, maybe my arm's banged up because I just dove on it, and let me still knock down a clutch three. Like, that is Marcus Smart. You know, it's never enough for him. He's always going to keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. And when his shots are falling, boy, oh boy, are we lucky. Again, 40% from three. A guy like Marcus Smart, 40% from three. Crazy. I'll take that any day of the week, as should you. I mean, he's probably the reason, let's be honest. Like, maybe, you know, Tatum is that star, obviously. But Marcus Smart may be the reason that they ended up winning that series. Four games over 15 points. And, you know, I just wanted to give credit where it's due, because that's something that that he needs. Because if Marcus Smart's playing good offense, keep feeding him the rock. He can't have the same baggage of, oh, I don't care if he makes those threes. I don't like him taking the threes. No. If Marcus Smart's on, give him the ball, because he's just as good of a scorer as your next guy. You know, maybe the Celtics are in a weird case because they have two awesome scorers in Kemba and Tatum. But you get what I'm saying. Marcus Smart is not the guy that everyone should cringe when he shoots a three anymore. And even when he's off, he's almost earned his right to take them. And that's probably the first time I've really said that. Like I said, maybe nine threes a game is a little too much. But still, when Marcus Smart's on, he's on. So I don't mind the Celtics going out of their way to get him an open look and see if he's on that night. Because game over if he's on. Let's talk about Kemba Walker, like I mentioned. But first, yep. Burner Sports. Let me tell you a little about Burner Sports. So I've always said it in these past few episodes. Awesome, awesome sponsorship we have going on. Burner Sports kind of takes that daily fantasy sports vibe, and instead of you drafting players with a salary, all you have to do is answer prop bets. Will Jason Tatum score over this amount of points? Yes or no? Who will be the leading scorer? Who will be the leading in assists? Who's going to have the most blocks? So on and so forth. They cater it towards the team, so you're in there with other Celtics fans, you know, pretty much having a competition with each other about the Celtics. So who is that true diehard fan? And it's free to sign up. It takes 2 seconds. Like, I'm not even kidding you. I signed up. It takes 2 seconds to sign up. Email, username, boom, you're in. And then you can enter free. And guess what? Game 7, the jackpot was $75. We filled it up. I think there's 100 spots. Did you miss your chance to win $75 because you just were too lazy? And maybe you just don't know the Celtics team. Because if you knew the Celtics team, why wouldn't you enter a free contest and a chance to win some bank there? So shout out to everyone that's won. I have won a couple of these contests. I'm in these contests. So for whatever it's worth, if you don't feel like you're going to win the money, at least you may be able to beat me and have some bragging rights over me. And I like it because it shows that you guys are supporting, you know, a company that I support, that I'm getting the DMs being like, hey, have look at the screenshot. I beat you. I'll take it. You know what I mean? Like, I've had my fair share of L's to own, and some of these contests have been L's for me. But hey, I have a W. Free entry, chance to win money, burnersports.com. All right, so Kemba Walker. Everyone kind of says, oh, Kemba Walker had a terrible series. Kemba Walker didn't have a terrible series. I hate to break it to you, but games 1 through 5, Kemba Walker was actually really good. He had a 29-point night, an 18, a 21-point night. Like, Kemba Walker played really well in the first 5 games. And then all of a sudden, they're like, okay, let's switch it up and let's go boxing one against him. And I think that's what overshadows the rest of what he did that series, because he went 5 points and then 14 points, which really for like the first, what, half maybe, he was not even close to getting 14 points. So 5 points, 14 points, and 2 extremely crucial games. That was the issue there. Now, I'm not going to harp on that. I will say the people that were calling for his neck, saying he stinks, I don't agree with it. If you watch that game, if you know basketball, and I might consider myself more of a nerd, but I'm watching this and looking at it and saying Brad Stevens isn't doing anything to free up Kemba Walker. He wasn't. Brad Stevens had the box and one to work against, right? Toronto was running a guy on 4 corners, and then one person would stick with Kemba Walker. The easiest way to beat that is to go set a screen on the ball and make one of the guys in the corner now pop out of their positioning and see where you land. Because then you can develop even a 3-on-1 around the wing or anything like that. End of story. Just set a screen on the ball and then break that box in one and try and free up Kemba. The Celtics didn't try to do that. Now, I'll say that I don't agree with it, but now I'll kind of play devil's advocate against myself and say why they were doing that. Brad Stevens was figuring, okay, if Kyle Lowry's going to, you know, X Kemba Walker and take him out of the game, I trust my 4 against your 4. And that's what he was going with. So it wasn't like Kemba Walker stunk or couldn't free himself up. Sure, he wasn't making shots, but he really wasn't in the game, right? So if you look at it like that, all he was doing was pretty much taken out of the game. And the Celtics, unfortunately, again, I don't agree with it, unfortunately seemed to accept it. Like, he would make one pass and then get out of there. And then it would be Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart making the play. So it sort of worked. Obviously, they ended up winning the series, but they went 500 when that happened. So I kind of wanted to just clear that up because everyone's shitting on Kemba as if he stunk. He did stink, but there was nothing for him to do. It's like if you're trying to play a card game and you're looking down at your cards and they're all blank. Like, how are you going to prosper in that situation? He had the same situation. Like, he thought he could beat it because, you know, you heard the stories that Brad Stevens texted him and said, hey, can we free you up doing this? And he showed him an old play. And Kemba said, no, I know what I need to do. So he did kind of nix it in the butt and probably ended up hurting himself because Brad Stevens probably was ready to install something to get Kemba going. But Kemba, you know, maybe didn't recognize it, or maybe he saw the big picture and said, all right, take me out of the game. R4 can beat your four. But I wanted to make that clear because Kemba Walker deserves so much blame for, you know, stinking, and especially game six. But I want people to understand why he stunk at least. So I'm fine with you saying, you know, he was trash in game six because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. You know, 2 of 11, fine, I'll give you that. But it wasn't like a normal night for him. It wasn't a normal offensive set, normal defense, that type of thing. No, he was an absolute uphill climb, and he's good enough that he should be able to beat that. So that's where I'll agree with you. But why are we talking Kemba Walker? The real reason why I wanted to bring this up is that he's not going to have issues like that against Miami. Not even close. They don't have the perimeter defense. And again, this is, I guess, in my opinion, but he's going to have a better series just based on how that Heat team is laid out. Like, they don't have the perimeter defense, especially if Kyle Lowry, they don't have the perimeter defense that the Raptors had. And I don't think that they have the pieces to be able to go like box into one and just put, what, Jimmy Butler on Kemba? Then good luck, Tatum or Brown or someone else is going to go off then, you know? The Raptors had the ability to say, you know, hypothetically, or not hypothetically, it happened, put Kyle Lowry on Kemba Walker and then let Siakam, Serge Ibaka, let them clog the lane and block shots. It's not going to happen against Milwaukee. So you're not going to see a box in one. You don't really see box in ones very often in the NBA, but you won't see it against Kemba in this game or in this series. And that's why I expect him to have a way better series. Like, people that are talking about Kemba Walker stunk in the playoffs so far, the guy's averaging 22 points and 5 assists and 4 rebounds, excluding game 6 and 7 of the Raptor series. Kemba Walker's doing his job in the playoffs. So hopefully that helps you out understand that Kemba Walker does not stink and that he actually didn't even have that bad of a series against Toronto. It was just a couple games that he stunk in. And it was because of the situation that was at hand with the defense and them not really trying to free him up and more or less using him as a distraction or a decoy. Like, Kemba Walker has done pretty damn well for his first playoff run as a Celtic. 22 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. You know what I'm saying? So let's leave the Kemba Walker stinks at the door. And the fact that we got, I can't believe I saw multiple. Now I say multiple, I think it was like 2 or 3 replies, but people being like, you know, we told ourselves we were better without Kyrie, but look at this. It's like, talk about overreactions. Again, up until games 6 and 7 of the Raptor series, Kemba Walker has had a great playoff run. Now, what have you done for me lately? Those are unfortunately the two. So we got to really, you know, focus on those and focus on, when I say we, the Celtics team has to focus on those and make sure that doesn't happen again. I just don't think it's going to. I don't think that the Heat are going to be able to play that box in one like the Raptors did. Last thing, you know, you guys asked for my official prediction on the stream. I think I gave it out. I don't know. Had a couple beers. I don't remember if I did or not, but I did want to save it for the show here. My official prediction is Celtics in 6. I don't think this is going 7. I think they went 7 with the Raptors. I think the Raptors truly are a better team than the Heat. And I have a couple reasons for this. Again, we're in a situation where the Celtics do have the better players. Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker are the two best players. You know, maybe with Kemba Walker's last two games struggling, maybe he's not. But I would say Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum are the two best players in the series. Jimmy Butler, then it probably goes, you know, Bam Adebayo. So, you know, you split the first 4, Jaylen Brown. But you get what I'm getting at here. Just like I said, all last series, the Celtics have the better players. In playoff basketball, that counts for a lot. You know, you have close games, superstars shine, that type of thing. So I do think the Celtics have better players, and that's why I don't see it even going 7 games. I think that they played a team that really, really played them well, and the Heat play everyone well. Like, they're a tough team, but I think the Celtics can just handle them in six. I'm not giving them a sweep. I'm not saying the Celtics are going to work them, but six games, I think this series goes six games, and the Celtics take the dub and move on to the NBA Finals. Now, one other thing I kind of wanted to say, and I don't know if it's the truth or whatnot, but like, are we all forgetting that there's a chance that this Miami team got so high on the fact that they absolutely put an ass-whooping on Milwaukee? Like, everyone's talking about how, the Celtics, and I had, I believe his name was Boom, or his username was Boom. He was in the stream after Game 7. He's talking about how, you guys are going to be really rusty and tired after a Game 7. Well, that has some credence. I'm not going to totally throw it out the window, but are you going to say that, like, the Heat are, you know, for being laid up now for a few days, like, that's best? Like, that's not always best. Like, the Celtics just beat a tough team in Game 7. They're almost parlaying that momentum into the next series. They only have to wait a few days. Whereas the Heat, they've been sitting there, joints getting cold, Jimmy Butler probably getting old. Like, I don't think that it really works either way. And if anything, I'm probably taking the young team that just went seven games. Like, they're going to bounce back. They're going to be ready to go. So I don't see how someone can say, oh, they played seven games, they're done, they're going to be tired. They've had days of rest. They're fine. But I can totally see the argument that the Heat just sort of busted their load beating Milwaukee. Like, that, they beat the best team in the league by record, and they whooped them. You know what I mean? They took down the Giant. Now, do they think season's done? Who knows? We've seen it in, like, college basketball, right? You know, the Cinderella story, all of a sudden they get to a point where it's like, oh, well, we kind of already had our championship. You know, they win the first round. Maybe they make it to the Sweet 16, but then they win on a buzzer beater. No way they're winning the next game, because that championship for them was that Sweet 16 buzzer beater. Do the Miami Heat consider that Bucks win? They're never going to admit it, but, you know, Heat fans, Heat players, like, do they consider that Bucks win the sort of peak of the season? Who knows? It's more of a subconscious thing. We're not going to see until the Celtics and Heat play, but I guess the greater point here is that I'm not holding seven games against the Celtics. Like, there's both negatives to how the teams won, but guess what? Both of these Eastern teams won. You know, so don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say the Heat are definitely screwed because they beat the Bucks. That's stupid. I'm just trying to deflect the point that the Celtics are screwed because they went seven against the Raptors. You know, and I think that's a fair take. All in all, again, my overall prediction based on, you know, coaches being very similar, I'd probably give the nod to Brad Stevens, but Spoelstra has some serious experience. He's like the only coach that survived LeBron. Like, this guy's a legit coach. But I'm still going to give the nod to Brad. And player-wise, give me the Celtics. Give me the Celtics. Give me Tatum playing well. Jaylen Brown's been pretty good in the playoffs so far. Give me a Marcus Smart that's rearing and ready to go. Marcus Smart and Jimmy Butler, remember that beef, too. Remember that beef. I think Jimmy Butler said Marcus Smart ain't about that life, or vice versa. I don't know. There's some beef here. There's some bad blood. Things are going to get a little chippy, and I'm taking the Celtics in this. They got the enforcer, Marcus Smart, and this team wants to win. You know, every time they've needed to win in the playoffs, they have. So we shall see, guys. Thank you very much for listening to episode number 85. These numbers, you know, the as we get higher and higher and higher, it's crazy to see that the growth of the podcast is really aligning with this. You know, we're pumping out multiple episodes a week, and you guys are crushing the downloads and crushing the interaction. I love it. And we'll see how game one goes. It's probably going to tell a lot about the series, but either way, I still like the Celtics in six. But I'm taking a game one dub, too. That's my prediction. So I'll catch you guys in the next episode.